Hi Chinuch Show is brought to you by King David Schools, the cornerstone of our community for 75 years.
Torah isn't education, it's transformation. This is Chai Chinuch with Rabbi G.
101.9 Chai FM, Chai Chinuch with Rabbi G. We are back, as we do every Monday between 2 to 3, where we discuss education, we discuss Chinuch, and we discuss different topics and different issues that we have through different areas and anything that we can to achieve in order to improve the world, improve ourselves, our families, our communities, and to live in the world we want to be living in. And today, considering that we are at the beginning of our holidays and school holidays, and there's a very important topic happening this week in South Africa, we're going to be discussing about it a bit of a different way. And actually today I want to learn from other communities in around the world about their culture, because we are celebrating here in South Africa the Cultural Community Week. And when we have Cultural Community Week, let's look at our culture as a Jewish culture in different countries and in different places. And from there, we can get some kind of understanding and learning from there regarding our different and connections and how other communities in Africa live their Jewish culture. So we're going to be joining. I'm going to be joined now. I'm going to start with Yehuda Firman, who is the leader of the Jewish community in the Ivory Coast. And let's hear a bit about the Jewish life over there and find our differences and connections and just touch base on that. Anything you would like to comment or share, please send us a WhatsApp at 061-895-1019. And let's go right into this. Good afternoon to Yehuda Firman.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
My pleasure. Shalom.
Shalom, shalom. So welcome to our show. Thank you for joining us here today. And you are in the Ivory Coast, the leader of the Jewish community over there. Let's hear a bit about the community. Let's start just with knowing a bit about, maybe even just introduce us to the culture, to the country a bit, and then we'll go to the Jewish community.
Okay. So Ivory Coast is located in West Africa, and so it's close to Ghana and Liberia. You might know this country. And our community started to live, to exist since 2000 exactly, so almost 24 years. And so the community has been growing, so there have been more people who feel like they belong to the Jewish communities. And you know that the Jewish communities in West Africa are large. You have people in Nigeria, you have some at the border of Ghana, that those communities believe they have been there for generations. So our community started 2000, so we're almost 24 years old. And since then we have started to, some of us have Shomer Shabbat, and we keep the Halachot, and we have managed to get Shochet, you know, because there's a kashrut is one of the most important things in Judaism, of course. And we have been able to keep all the festivals of the holidays. And so you try to go that way.
Wow.
So this is a growing community, about 100, 200 people.
About 200 people in the community, you're saying?
My community is almost 120. They come for festivals. But there are more small communities existing. They're emerging. I would call it emerging communities, because some have started to convert. And so it's becoming a very serious issue.
Wow. Okay. So we're going to go into the discussion a bit more about the community. But beforehand, joining us now, we have Angel Wilberforce, who is the leader of the Jewish community in Ghana. Good afternoon, Angel. Thank you so much for being with us today as well.
Good afternoon. I hope everything is good, please.
Yes, thank God. So thank you for joining us. Before we go to the Jewish community, you are located in Ghana. Tell us a bit about the culture, about what it is, just about your community, and then we'll go into the discussion.
Okay, I'm very grateful for you giving me this opportunity to express myself and to tell you about my customs in my community and my country. My community and we have a whole lot of traditions. We observe Shabbat as a custom, and we also observe the laws of purity. That's what we call the Nida. We also observe dietary laws and other things.
Okay, when you say dietary laws, you mean in kashrut?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So let's go a bit about to the structure. I was hearing from Yehuda just now about the culture in the Ivory Coast. Angel, on your community, what size community are you looking at? When did you guys start getting together?
The size of the community?
We started together. Thank you very much for...
Okay.
The size of the community before...
Sorry, let's go one by one. Angel, the size of the community by you?
We are more than two families joined together.
Two families.
22. We were 22 families.
Yes. Okay. Wow. Okay. So let's talk about the establishment. Yehuda, I want to ask you, in the Ivory Coast, the community that you are the leader of the community, when we talk about Jewish life over there, is that in conjunction with the day-to-day life in the Ivory Coast, or is it your own educational system, your own concepts, separated from the majority of the community, specifically going to your personal customs for many years, or it's integrated and you are able to keep some of the...
If I may understand you very well, you want to know whether our Jewish life is in conjunction with the normal life in the country where we are, right?
Yeah. So, Angel, we can't hear you so well.
Yes.
I'm wondering if we're having a bit of technical issues.
We have a lot of difficulties.
Yeah.
A lot of challenges when it comes to our daily lives, because, you know, we are surrounded by so many people who are not Jewish.
Oh, we lost you. So, Yehuda, I don't know if you can hear me.
Yes, perfectly.
Yeah. Okay, so let's continue.
So one of the biggest challenges that we had was with the holidays, because you know, the Christian is a country that's we have almost 40% Christians, 40% Muslims. So the holidays are not really... this is one of the biggest challenges to...
Okay.
Shabbat is no problem. Goes Friday, Saturday is no problem. But people have a big problem with the holidays. You know, when you have a Yom Tov, you can move, you can take it, you can drive a car. So what do you do? You can go to work. So this has been a challenge for most of the people from the community. And, you know, and keeping 2 days of holidays when they're in diaspora, this is one of the biggest challenges. Yeah. So this is one of the problems, to keep Yom Tov and, for those kind of things. But regarding Kashrut, we have been very lucky because we had somebody... an Israeli person who... two times we have Israeli people who are here, so where we could use the... we could do Shechita with them. So this has kept us, made it possible to keep Kedusha in that area.
Amazing.
Yes. The other things was the Sefer Torah is okay. We have people have been able to acquire 2 Sefer Torah. One has been dedicated here. Somebody came, a rabbi came and wrote the last letters in the Ivory Coast, so we could we were lucky to have a dedicated Torah written here, completed in the Ivory Coast, and we have 2 Sefer Torah, so we read them regularly. So myself, I've been I was lucky to have a degree in Hebrew and Aramaic, so I read the Torah myself to the community, and so we follow some training and. So we try to keep in touch with rabbis to have more information regarding the halachot.
Wow.
So our customs is in many areas make things easier because people keep nida most of the time here in many cultures and even Ghana. So it was not a problem.
You mean people that are not Jewish?
Yeah, nida is no problem. So people will keep nida with their women, with their wives.
Okay.
The problem was essentially with some misunderstanding, because some people try to set up new rules, like if a woman is nida, she cannot come to the synagogue. And we have to clarify that it's not forbidden according to halacha. And
I get it.
So we have to sometimes soften some applications, rule application.
Okay.
But we try to follow the Shulchan Aruch. It's on our basic rules.
Amazing. I just need to stop you quickly because we have to take a short ad break. When we come back, I want to hear more specifically about customs and things that, as a tradition for many years that you have in the community. A short break.
The Chai Chinuch Show is brought to you by King David Schools, the cornerstone of our community for 75 years.
101.9 Chai FM, Chai Chinuch Show by G. We are back, and I'm here in a very interesting discussion. We are celebrating in South Africa this week a special week of celebration of Cultural Communities Week, and therefore we are celebrating with Jewish communities from other parts of Africa. And here in this discussion or with me, I have Yehuda Furman, who is the leader of the Jewish community in Ivory Coast, and as well as Angel, who is the leader of the Jewish community in Ghana. And right before the break, Yehuda, you were starting to share a bit about the actually culture and minhagim and things that you have in tradition. And I'm wondering, if we look at things that are culturally, for people that have been part of the Jewish community for years or centuries, is there anything unique to the Ivory Coast that you would share?
What we would need?
Unique, specifically in your community.
Yes, I mean, the problem is that since people want to keep the kedusha of Shechita, and so it's a change of dietary, change of habits, and how to improve nutrition to the people, to them accessible, to make kosher food accessible. I mean, this is something that we urgently need to improve in order for people to keep this kedusha. The second thing that we still need is that we want to create mikveh, and there's something that's need to spread at least 1-2 central mikveh that people can access. And also we need a Jewish cemetery, because you can't spend all your life in kedusha and then terminate it that with a non-kosher cemetery. So people are afraid that, there's no consequential. And so there's something we need to complete in the process. If once you have this the cemetery issue solved, then the kashrut solved, and this could be something that will strengthen the Jewish consciousness and Jewish way of living. And so this is a process that we really appreciate any kind of support and to make it possible, because people are really aware that the future of Africa will be related to this kind of behavior, that we go into in a healthy way of living, and also to spread, to connect to Israel. So last time when there was a problem with Israel, we had a large community supporting Israel, and people are aware that if there is peace in Israel, there is peace in the world. Isn't it? That's the truth. So we have to pray that there is peace in Israel.
Right, correct. So you're describing a community that's being built, and obviously you as the leader of the community is building it. So is that inflicting that for thousands of years there wasn't a Jewish community functional in the Ivory Coast?
There may have been. I mean, the Christians, they have tried to erase any traces of Judaism. Sure, I mean that you can see that their traditions are very close to Judaism, clearly, but have been raised by the colonial people. And one of the things that when there is Ari Greenspan came to the Ivory Coast, and they noticed that we have some way of using blue color for our stuff, and this kind of tehelet color, and in our villages people use this kind of dying color that can remain for a long time, that even if you don't know in Europe. So Ari Greenspan has been interested in this process of having this blue tehelet, this pure color, and that's remained for long. And people believe this comes from snails, it could come from plants. And our tradition have been using this blue color for centuries. How do you keep blue on stuff? There's one question that we have, that keep give maybe some clues what has been happening in the past centuries. Wow. But consistently in the whole area, people keep nida. The something that's very amazing. And the festival could be, and also some Shabbat rules that we keep on the day of Shabbat. I don't know. People are not aware where it came from, that every Friday people don't go in the villages, they don't go to the field to work.
That's, and you know, the everybody. Also, they have this kind of, that's everybody, not only so the Jewish people.
Many people keep that. This is very strange.
Oh, wow. So
could be some remnants of reminiscences, maybe of Shabbat rules. But nowhere people have been able to find the Torah scrolls. That's something that we'll miss, because Torah scrolls in many traditions have been the traces, at least some parchments. Right. This is something that we miss. I honestly must say that as long as we have not found some parchments, we have seen some challenge to find the real roots of the traces of Jewish life.
Well, that's fascinating. I'm going to come back to you in a moment, because I still want to hear, so then how did the community start evolving again after 2,000 years or thousands of years, and just in the last 24 years? Just going to Angel, and I'm wondering, Angel, what you're hearing from Yehuda compared to what you guys are going through in Ghana, and the similarity or differences in your community. How do these things happen within your community? Do you find the same challenges, different ways of work? What's happening by you?
Well, thank you very much for this wonderful opportunity. To be honest with you, we are facing the same challenges here in Ghana. One of the major problems is that we are seeking to have an official recognition of our people here as Jews in Ghana, because we want to have a wonderful way of life. So we want to create an environment where we have Jewish people, we have our own hospitals and our own schools, and everything that will be Jewish, that will be kosher. We started this way of life a lot of centuries back. It is very difficult to have so many traces, because we don't have anything like Torah scrolls from the ancient times. But we have a source from our oral traditions, what our ancestors laid down for us, especially for the Shabbat keeping. The laws of Nida, purification, as I said, and dietary laws, as I said earlier on.
That's very interesting. Angel, we have a very difficult time hearing you. Let's try get the line a bit better, and then we'll get back to you, because I think what you're saying is very important, and I'd really want to hear more about it. Just that technically we're having a bit of a challenge here in the line. So, just Yehuda, going back to you, how did this happen? What, after thousands of years, and it seems to be that there are some interesting customs that alert of Jewish life, and then one day you come and you start a community 24 years ago, and you start and you're up to already over 100 people. What happened?
What happens is that Africa has been experienced a lot of violence.
Hello.
It's
all. So, Angel, we're gonna try connect to you. Yes, I hear you. Go ahead, Yehuda.
Yes, I said that there have been a lot of migration since the 17th century. People are moving from the basin of Congo through West Africa. And there are a lot of changes. Mm-hmm. So the borders were not stable. And it was difficult to keep some literature, some written systems that could keep the knowledge, you know. I think one of the most valuable things in Judaism is, of course, the writing systems. Because, I mean, there is no an alphabet in Judaism, because everybody has to learn to write and to read by the age of 3 in order to access the Torah.
Right.
And the fact that people have been not even able to access writing very early, this has made it impossible to keep the records of what has happened. And so also the coming of Muslims in the 16th century, in Africa. The people look at it around the 15th, 16th century. And so they have tried to erase any traces of Judaism, of the what people call primitive religions. But those primitive religions may be reminiscence of what the Torah was has been spread. And that's what I believe, because since when people left Egypt after the trip with Moshe, I think that some people remain in the desert, right? And then the desert is close to South Africa. You know, I mean, you see the desert, I mean, going to the two sides, people have been going down the Nile and to sub-Saharan Africa. And the process of over 10,000 centuries have been very long. So this has led to a big loss of many knowledge, or a lot of knowledge. But I think there are a lot of the traces of Jewish knowledge in the Kabbalah, essentially in the mystical tradition. They have a lot of knowledge there.
So you're saying that the Jewish community, you're saying the Jewish community is traced to the time that the Jewish nation left Egypt, not to the time after the second.
Yes, I think that time.
Not to the time of exile.
And also after the destruction of the temple also. Okay. I mean, there have been two processes. The first was when they came from, when they were going to Egypt, some returned, some didn't go directly. And I think the second process was after the destruction of the temple, where people have to come. We can see that many were, they went to Morocco, to this area. Many Jewish people came there very early. They were the Toshavim, and then the people who came later after the Spain. I mean, the first migration to Morocco, to this area, to the Maghreb area, happened first. There was a first migration, and then the second after the issue of Spain.
Right. So I want to ask you like this. You know, in this conversation, I'm speaking to you from Ivory Coast. I'm speaking to Angel, who's here with us on the line, and he is from Ghana. And you're both describing very similar challenges in certain areas. Is there some kind of connection networking between the countries and communities to see how the Jewish communities can support each other throughout Africa?
We must first express our gratitude to Kulanu. Kulanu made it possible to connect our different groups and communities. So this is a big work done by Bonita and Sussman, the family. Okay. So they've done a lot of work in the last years to make it possible to connect.
To connect.
And this has really helped a lot to exchange our experience and also to see how we can work together, how to exchange our knowledge. And because that's the way I knew Tete, and Tete is we really exchange a lot.
Oh, wow, amazing. Angel, on your side, do you have connections with other communities and support and some kind of similarities that you can learn from each other?
Yes, I believe we have a connection with people from Cote d'Ivoire and people from Nigeria especially. Most of my people in Ghana have a serious connection with Cote d'Ivoire. Most of my people journeyed from Ghana to Cote d'Ivoire. Most of people also journeyed from Cote d'Ivoire to Ghana. So we have several cultural similarities. And I think that it's about time that we can forge a common bond to support ourselves in diverse ways through education and
Wow. So I'd like to ask you, and then I'm going to go back to Yehuda as well, but I'd like to ask you, Angel, from your side, and we'll right after the break, we'll continue in this question. You know, I know as a rabbi in South Africa and as a rabbi that learned in yeshivot, we have a tradition that I was taught by my rabbis and their rabbis, by their rabbis, generation after generation. And then I'm speaking to you two who've really built their communities again. And I'm wondering, where does that tradition learning comes from? Are you in contact with rabbis in Israel, in different countries that are able to support your questions? Halachic, I know when I need to teach and I don't know something, I have who to ask. And I'm wondering if you guys have that accessibility in the same level. But for that answer, we'll have to take a short break. And when we come back, let's address that question and see how we can continue with that.
The Chai Chinuch Show is brought to you by King David Schools, the cornerstone of our community for 75 years.
101.9 FM Chai Chinuch Zohar Bai G. We are back, and as we are celebrating the Different Culture Communities Week, I'm speaking here with two leaders of Jewish communities, one Angel, who's a leader in Ghana, and then with Yehuda, who's a leader in Ivory Coast. And Angel, right before the break, I asked about tradition, leadership that comes from generation to generation. Rabbis, do you have that support in Ghana?
It has been one of our headaches. After our founder, Aaron Kwachafra, had a vision that Hashem directed him to gather the children of Israel. After he passed on, it has been very difficult for us to get in touch with rabbis. Several organizations have been supporting us with educational materials and full support, but getting in contact with rabbis so that we can learn from them has been very difficult for us. So it has been our dream that one day we will get connected to several rabbis so that we can learn from them, educate our people, and so that our children will also learn from us too.
Amazing. Yeah, so that definitely is something that can be addressed. And interesting, and I'm wondering, Yehuda, from your side, do you have access and that teaching and knowledge?
Yes. We have got rabbis helping us, because we started at the beginning as a Kabbalah center, first of all, and we were focused on the Torah Bel Peh. And so we are teachers. So we still have people from Israel. I call Rabbi Yoke Devish and some friends, Moshe Zohar. And so I have a lot of friends who I used to ask. Every time I have a question, I will ask them. If I read the Sugan Aru and understand, so I ask question again and again. And as I said, 2010, we had an Israeli man, a religious Orthodox man who was around, so we could ask him every time about different questions about halacha. And so he has been, his name is Ariel Palmon. He has been very useful in completing our questions, whatever was necessary. So we were very careful about getting rabbis to be sure. At least the Orthodox rules were the basic thing that we could use, because before there is any variation, look at the Orthodox rules first of all, and that's the basic on which we always go.
And sticking to that foundation and in a very clear way. So
exactly.
Yeah, so it sounds very interesting. Again, we touched on it a bit about the arising again of the community. Is that what, due to the world becoming a global world, a connection, or just started within the community? Yehuda?
Yes, of course. I mean, our vision is to have a global community.
Definitely. No, but I'm saying what started 24 years ago, when obviously you didn't have anything at all, what do you connect that to, that suddenly people, and you including, started to say, oh, we are Jewish, let's create a community, let's start and build the Jewish culture?
Oh, let me tell a story. I first started in 1997 with a rabbi who was Berg, with this Kabbalah Center, first of all. We were interested in the practice of the awareness, more how to help people from the spiritual side. And then when we opened the center, the synagogue, 2001, many people just came to learn about Jewish Kabbalah system and whatever. And that's the way we started to get people coming and to say, oh, let's go into this and maybe live as a Jewish way, living the Kedusha. It started to grow progressively from the just interest into Jewish mystics, Jewish way of life. And that's the way it started to awaken this interest in living a real Jewish life, in living the Kedusha.
Wow, amazing. And Angel, when we go to your community in Ghana, what was the arisal that started the community, that people said, oh no, we are Jewish, we identify as Jewish, we see ourselves as Jewish? How did that start?
It was not very easy for people to accept it back, you know. Our people never accepted the fact that they want to be called Jewish people. They started by calling themselves children of Israel. They were living normal life as a common people until the arrival of the Christian missionaries. So after a number of years, when we started as a people and gathering ourselves, a few, 1, 2, 3, 4 people started doing Jewish, observing Shabbat. And then we reportedly went to the paramount chief, who was my uncle by then. We summoned ourselves before him and we made him understand that we are children of Israel and we are observing the ancient custom of our ancestors by observing Shabbat. Most of the laws were not forbidden by then, so we were accepted by the chief and we were given a piece of land to establish our synagogue. We were given a huge land, and then when people saw what we're doing and connecting it to our ancient traditions, a few people started coming down to study with us. Most of them don't identify themselves as Jewish, whereas they accept themselves as Israelites. So when they come, they learn from us, we teach them the Torah. We teach them the oral traditions, what was laid down by ancestors. And that is how people got to know and identify themselves as Jews.
Wow. And then is there any challenges, and this is a question to both of you, from the larger community of the people in your countries? So, for instance, Yehuda, in Ivory, do you have issues with the population, or they're happy to allow you to live your life there?
Just I want to apologize. I may leave in 5 minutes. No, we have no problem with other communities. We live together with the Muslims. We have even people from the Muslim community who come to visit us, who attend to Shabbat. So this is something very original. You read recently that many Muslims come to our community, and there was a report on Al Jazeera that you have Muslim people coming to our community and praying with us.
Oh, wow. That's
so
amazing.
This is something that's amazing. We have a lot of Muslim come to us because they love the way we handle them and the way we pray. And also we have a lot of people from the Christian communities who also want to, they feel Jewish and they really want to connect to us and to teach them how to pray, how to do the singings and the songs and whatever. So we have a lot of, I mean, it's growing thanks to that. We have a huge complementary action with non-Jewish communities.
Wow, you know, that's really fascinating. And you know, so much that maybe we'll speak afterwards to see what we can help from South Africa. We do need to take our last ad break, and I know you need to go, so we're going to just want to thank you, Yehuda, for being with us today.
Yeah, thank you very much. So we stay in touch. I'll get back to you.
We'll stay in touch, and Angel, I'll continue with you after the break. Angel, please stay with us, and Yehuda, we'll be in touch. We'll speak, and thank you. So interesting
thank
to hear
you.
About your community.
Thank you so much. I want to thank you for this opportunity.
Thank you. A short break, and when we come back, thank you, Yehuda, and when we come back, we will continue this discussion. I'm here with Angel shortly. We'll be right back.
The Chai Chinuch Show is brought to you by King David Schools, the cornerstone of our community for 75 years.
101.9 Chai FM Chai Chinuch Rabbi G. We are back, and here we are in an interesting discussion. I'm here with Angel, who is a leader of the Jewish community in Ghana, and we were discussing throughout the hour together with him and Yehuda from Ivory Coast. Angel, I want to ask you, as a Jewish community in Ghana, how do you integrate within the larger population of Ghana?
Thank you very much for this wonderful question. It has been very wonderful integrating with the larger community. Although it has not been very easy to identify yourself as a Jew in Ghana, a lot of challenges, intimidation, and a whole lot. But aside that, we course, we are very good with our neighbors, with the Christian community and the Muslim community. It's quite easy to put on your support to work in the school, because people will tell you that you're a black man, so you can't be Jewish, and this kind of intimidations doesn't make us happy to put on our kippot when you're walking the streets. But apart from that one, we are very cool with our people here.
Oh, wow. So when you dress like a Jew, they do give you trouble around that?
Yes.
But then you manage and you think, okay, well, listen, as I said to Huda, I think I'm going to have to be in touch with you after the discussion on live and see, you know, about the connection, what can be done. Angel, it sounds fascinating. There's so much more I wanted to discuss with you and about living as a Jewish community in Ghana. But I guess we'll have to keep that for another time. In the meantime, I just want to thank you. Thank you for joining us today. It's been a very interesting discussion to learn more about your community and your culture, specifically with all the technical challenges, but we got there. So thank you, Angel, so much for joining us today. Thank you, Yehuda, for being with us. Thank you to Craig for managing the show perfectly. Thank you, Sana, for putting these interviews together. Thank you to our listeners for being with us week after week, Monday 2 to 3, where we discuss different important concepts and issues and discussions about anything, really, that will improve our lives and our communities and our country. In the meantime, until we meet again on Monday, next Monday, 2 to 3, have a safe week. Enjoy your holiday if you're already on holiday. If not, we're almost there, and we will be back in touch, continuing our growth and learning journey.